The Lo-Fi girl is Asian.
Is she not Asian?
This is not an Asian girl. This is not an Asian girl. Why? What about her is Asian? Why do you think she's Asian?
That's an anime style.
This is good anime.
This is not anime. What about this is anime? It's just, it's animated. Wow, this, your racism is showing.
No, wait.
This girl's
wait.
Asian.
This is an Asian girl. What are we talking about?
What about her Asian?
Whatever you want it to be.
What about her is Asian?
I think it's the high ponytail.
Okay, this has gone to another place. Right, I'm not going to say another word. I'm not getting cancelled today or ever.
Oh my God. No, we're already recording. Do you know what? Because I'm going to say, I would like to people to
tell me.
You're
going to ask the audience.
Is the lo-fi girl Asian or white? Is she Asian or white?
She could be something else.
She's purposely ambiguous.
I think it is because... Not is black, that, so that animation... that animation stuff, that's not anime to you? Is that not anime?
No, that's not anime. Is that
not an anime style thing?
This is such not a discussion to be having when we're starting the podcast.
I know.
No, this is a great way to start.
It's not going to be part of the podcast, but I'm going to put this clip up because I want people to ask me.
This is a great way to start the podcast.
Okay, well.
With racism.
Well, yeah. With racism.
No, it's subtle, ever so subtle.
Microaggressive.
Micro aggressive. Macro racism. This is a fantastic way to start the podcast because you seem very educated to me. So I immediately trust your judgment. So okay. I'm going to ask you just one question and then we can move
on. Go for it.
What about this girl makes you think she is Asian?
The anime style animation. There we go.
So anything that is anime style animated.
No.
Okay.
No. It's more about the time that Lo-Fi Girl came out. Uh-huh. The only anime things you were seeing were involving Asian people. Okay. You're rarely seeing white people in there.
Yep.
So now I assume she was Asian.
So you've been conditioned to think in a certain way.
Well, because it's Japanese cartoon, so they're doing the things for themselves.
This is anime to you. Is this anime or could this just be a cartoon that you watch online?
To me, it's still anime style.
It's anime style, okay.
Is that not anime style to you?
No.
It's whatever you make.
It just looks like an animation.
I don't know why you're sitting on the fence. You called it anime before. What is it to you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't know what's going on. You said it was anime as well.
Wow.
I'm listening to my brown noise, white noise. I'm not involved in this discussion.
Okay, well, we'll kick it off. Welcome back to Caesar Sessions, where we'll take you through all the black news of the week. And you're joined with your host, Ada.
And your host, Hanifa.
And we have a really special guest today. Miss Julianne Lego. Hello.
Welcome.
Hi, guys.
We've kicked it off well. Maybe we'll put it out as a little teaser that we've been debating whether the Lo-Fi Girl is Asian or not.
Yeah,
we have. And whether it's anime style or not.
That's also what has happened today.
That's really going to play on my brain all day.
Can I just say, she is Asian, I'm obviously fine with it. In my head, I just thought it was your immediate, she's Asian, that I thought, wait, is she, why? So, yeah.
I honest to God, if we put a poll out today on Twitter, I think most people will say that she's it.
Well, I think most people will cancel you.
Why don't we do it and find out? Live on the edge.
I think most people will cancel you, but let's do it because life is for living.
Okay, yeah.
It's like when you listen to the radio and you hear a song and you think the artist is black and then you see them.
Well, how many times that happened to you?
More than I'd like to say.
Does that not happen to you?
I thought Justin Timberlake was black as a kid.
Stop. He was from NSYNC.
He had a perm. I was a confused child. Michael Bublé.
There's so many things.
You thought Michael Bublé was black?
For a little minute.
Nobody
I heard one
ever
song.
Thought Michael Bublé.
What? Who else? No.
Robin Thicke. You can have that.
Yeah. Thank you.
You can have that one. Robin Thicke.
If you listen to the radio, the first
Robin Thicke song I heard was "Lost Without You." And I thought maybe this is a black man, but
no, I'm sorry.
You got
so
any?
Who did you think was?
I think the black people that are not black people are, you know, when they have featured vocalists on random songs.
Yeah.
When they have, you know, they'll do like, I'm so angry about this. I don't even want to promote this song in any way. But you know when they remix like an old Whitney Houston song and they turn it into a drum and bass house song.
Okay.
And they get someone to re-sing it.
Yes.
That's when I think the person's black. That's so when I hear a voice and think. But
so
also,
you've never had an artist where you're like.
No. I've no.
Really?
Never thought Justin Bieber was black.
No, absolutely not. When it's a featured artist, especially because featured artists, normally they're session singers, they don't really have an artist identity thing anyway.
Right.
And they're sort of trying to, their voice, the purpose of their voice is to make the song sound good.
Yeah.
So if they have to, you know, evoke a little soul energy in them, they can do it, even if they're not necessarily a black artist. But just thinking that Robin Thicke is black is crazy.
I was young child in the radio.
You have an advantage. Like you're very much in the music space. So I think your brain yeah. is thinking much further. I'm hearing a little twang in the voice of like black person.
And the only ones that will get me are, you know, like Yeba. You know them like white singers that grew up in church?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeba, I maybe would have thought, if I didn't see her first, I would have thought maybe she's a black woman.
I don't think so, though. Yeba, to me, sounds like a white person that has soul.
Yes, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, people like that.
Yeah, I get that. I think.
But you're right about Yeba, yeah, she does.
You know JMSN? Mm-hmm. Or Jameson?
Jameson.
Yeah.
Wait, is it Jameson?
Yeah, when I went to his concert, he was like, hi, I'm Jameson. I said, hello.
No. Don't worry. To this day, I still remember that Tolly T thought that Kay Trinada's name was Kay Trinada. And I have...
For Canada!
And I have never, ever forgot that. So I feel like JMSN is fine.
Yeah.
Did you call Jack James Javik James? Or?
No, but I still call Black. Division
yeah.
DVSN.
Yeah.
I think you're allowed to do both, though, for Division.
Well, I think that's just them giving up.
I said allowed. I think you're allowed.
I think they just gave up. But then somebody was like, why did you think they always have a Division sign? And I was like... I just never put two and two together. I just thought that was that.
You don't speak symbol. You didn't realise that DVSN was actually short for Division.
I don't speak symbol. I don't look into things sometimes. I just accept them for what they are.
Okay.
And then I don't put two and two together.
I have a question. What do you think the names of Ed Sheeran's albums are?
I was just thinking that.
Do you think I listen to Ed Sheeran?
Oh, fair.
But it's all the maths ones, isn't it?
It's plus
percentage. Divide, minus, equals, so, multiply.
But what is that?
I don't think he has minus, actually.
What is that for?
I thought it was times.
Multiply.
Multiply is a bad album name.
Sorry?
Multiply.
Is subtract a good one as well?
I don't think he's got subtract.
No, because that's
the
else.
I don't think Ed Sheeran's got a subtract. I think he's got multiply.
Plus.
Multiply.
The first one is plus.
He has a division one.
He definitely
because
has a
I was thinking, oh, DVSN will hate that.
Is that what you thought?
Has he
you thought DVSN would hate, not division would hate it.
Does he not have percentage?
Does he have
percentage, Hanifa? So multiply is a bad name, but percentage you're okay with.
Same ballpark. Isn't
it? Oh wow.
If we're going there, because I think plus and minus are quite good.
Is there a reason?
He loves maths.
Does he?
He's on a mathematics tour at the moment. Actually,
is it called mathematics?
Yeah. It's all the albums.
That's crazy. Do you know what he should be doing?
Says the girl that doesn't listen to him. Ed Sheeran, I don't listen to any of your music, but do you know what you should be doing?
No, but yeah, if you know what you should be doing, if you love math so much, you should be doing like a full government campaign for maths and making
like
sure
Elmo.
That 10% of your profits are going to maths teachers. If you want to be hyping for maths that much, but I don't listen to you, so I don't really care.
Okay.
He should go on Sesame Street.
I think he maybe has been on Sesame Street. Maybe. There's a part of my brain that thinks, I feel like Ed Sheeran would have been on Sesame Street.
Would you go
but
on Sesame
Ed Sheeran
Street?
Does a lot of things just in life.
Does he?
Yes, absolutely.
I see that for him.
He's a very generous human being.
Because he's not spending the money on like...
What are you going to say?
Material
fashion.
He's not stepping out with the latest designer, is he? So he might as well be giving the money back.
Does he not have a farm?
We're speaking a lot.
Do you listen to Ed Sheeran?
I used to, back in the day.
Okay, fair.
Back in the plus days.
You asked me a question just now and
I said, would you ever go on Sesame Street?
No.
Oh.
Why not?
Because I never watched it. I don't really know too much about it.
Oh, that's, yeah. That's a good enough answer.
Yeah, I just don't really know
a much
day
about with puppet?
I just know the cookie guy.
Cookie Monster?
Yeah.
What about Elmo?
The red one? Mm-hmm. To me, I don't know why, just immediately, I just liken them to Angry Birds.
What?
Elmo's the red Angry Bird.
You're thinking about Angry Birds? I'm
2023.
I would, personally, over Sesame Street, I would be in anything Angry Birds.
Okay.
Today, now, as a grown adult.
You might have to spearhead that.
You might have been the only person that's thinking about Angry Birds.
I love Angry Birds. I play Angry Birds on my VR.
You still play?
Yeah, I play...
Are you the only person? Is there a scoreboard? And it's just you at the top.
No, that would be mad. I'm not the only one that plays. I don't think. I have an Angry Birds hoodie that I used to wear all the time when I was on Rinse FM. The red one, because I was always the red, because I'm angry.
Right.
And I'm a bird in some people's eyes. Yeah, I'm a huge Angry Birds fan.
Okay.
Sorry, Sesame Street lovers.
A scoop. Hot off the press.
A scoop. Yeah.
Oh my. Hot off the press. Julie loves Angry Birds.
That needs to be the headline of all articles from me now on.
Okay. Well, we've spoken about everything that's not black. So how about we...
Should we do some shout-outs?
We do some season shout-outs where obviously we shout out a black business or black person that's doing sick things. Mm-hmm. Do you want to start?
Yeah, I guess I will.
My shout out. Be less enthusiastic if you
this
can.
This is me trying to like stall while I get it out. My shout out is Dap Straws, who you may know from children's illustrations.
Yeah.
The Rocket series. You'll recognise it.
The scientist, Ada.
Yes.
Me.
I've never seen that before.
Oh, well.
He's dope.
If you've got kids, yeah, he's an illustrator. But my shout out is for him because he posted a little tweet about seeing his bag in the wild. And I didn't know he designed bags. And
which bag is it? That's cute.
So you can get his bags on Waterstones, at Waterstones even. And they're very nice.
He's
not a kid.
He is a great illustrator.
Because he does kids' illustrations. Kids'
books. And he has his own book now as
well. Oh, does
he? Yeah. He's fantastic. That was a good one.
Thank you.
Well done.
Oh, I'm nervous now.
Go on.
I don't have one.
Okay.
Wait, black person or business that's doing things that I like.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Ada, you go. I'll be ready.
Okay, mine is, and this is why we got on the lo-fi discussion, but Storm Reid has... Storm Reid...
I can't believe we're back here.
...is the new quote-unquote lo-fi girl for Apple. And basically, the kids, the youth, a lot of people are a lot more lonely... in this technology age, they're not going out as much. And obviously the pandemic really just screwed a lot of people. So people really do like to study in pairs or groups, but not everybody has the opportunity to do so. So you can study with Storm Reid. And she basically is on the other side in your computer, but she just acts as if she's studying along with you and is like asking you questions or those random interjections where you have from friends. Each bit is like 25 minutes. So it helps you time how long you're studying for.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, so then she knows, like, so then when the music stops, it's like, okay, have a little break, then come back. But they've got her in, like, the headphone, laptop setup, and the lo-fi music in the background, so...
So they've completely copied the lo-fi girl brand.
I'm going to assume that they asked for permission.
Nice.
But also...
That's a good assumption.
I don't think they can own that, the lo-fi girl.
Because Will Smith did his version.
Did he?
Yeah.
You see? There you go.
You know Will Smith, he'll jump on a trend.
I know he's like, you know, I thought you were going to say, do you know Will Smith?
Have you heard him? Have you met him?
I have.
Is that your friend?
Yeah, I have met him.
Yeah, you have.
What was he like?
He was fantastic. Actually, I'll tell my quick story. This is why I'll never be a Will Smith hater like that too tough. But it was for King Richard, for the press, and... classically with the press line it was at Wimbledon because why not, and classically with the press line they told everyone, oh, you don't have that much time anymore, and told everyone you only have one question, and we were like, okay, cool, we'll put in our question. Will decided to stand with us and we had a 5-minute slot, and then the PRs was like trying to move him away, and he was like, and he looked around and saw that there was no other black people, he goes, I think I'll stay right here. And then we had a nice little chat, had a nice picture, and then he moved on. And then they grouped all the other press together and said, you have one question
between you.
Between you. And the evils we were getting. But I was like, what was I going to do? Tell Will, you should be pushing along. So sorry.
I'm never going to tell Will, no, go and speak to someone else.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, but that's amazing. I love him.
That's why I always love Will. But yeah, shout out to Storm Reid. I hope
shout out to Storm Reid.
The Apple money is deep, so you know.
It is. Yes. I do know.
Who's your shout out?
Oh, man. Okay, cool. I'm one of those people that I'll go home and think, oh, I should have shouted that person out. But at the top of my head right now, I'm going to go with Big Zoo.
Yeah.
Because he launched Canned Water.
And
it's called Drip, which I think is fantastic branding. And yeah, I just love, I've been saying this for a while now, I really like seeing all of the people from music find new paths and to make it sound, you know, very whatever, but revenue streams and just businesses and growing outside of just making music. And I think Water's great. So I'm really happy for him.
People love Canned Water.
I hated it at first.
Do you?
There was one brand that do a stupid lid. It was the lid.
With it, you have to push it back.
Yeah, and then you push it back and then you close it again.
I was sipping on that yesterday. That was pissing me off.
No. And I said, you know what? This is already new. Don't, you're giving us too much. Just, it's already water in a can. Don't now give us a new mechanism we've never used before. Close it back. But yeah, I'm really, of all the things, obviously people do alcohol brands and all these different things. I thought, how great was that to just make water?
I think that's better. Alcohol brands, it's played out. Don't, let's not launch another one.
We all need water.
Yes.
She says.
That is my addition to the that's we like all the, need the whole water. Campaign. We all need water.
Well, it's your talents are wasted here, Anita. Thank you. Wasted.
Going to advertising.
But with alcohol, it's like, how many more bottles are we going to be champagne in? It doesn't make any sense. But yeah, that's actually really good. And I like canned water because it gets cold quicker.
What do you mean?
Do you know, like, because metal gets cold quicker than plastic?
Yeah.
So when you put it, you know when you're like, you have a bottle but it's warm and you want it cold quickly? If you put it in the fridge for like 10 minutes, canned would actually be cold.
Right. See, told you.
Science.
Mm. Educated. That's why I trust your judgment. Maybe Lo-Fi Girl is Asian.
I'll tell you right now, she is. Straight after this, I'm going to find out. Because I remember, I think, they used to get sued, but I can't remember the full story about it. But, like, I don't even think Lo-Fi Girl that we see right now is the original.
There's different variations.
Yeah, because because of the music, it was, like...
Licensed.
There was licensing in the beginning of YouTube, so they used to take it down a lot and all of this, you know, all the...
You really know a lot about this.
Because somebody did something on it, and obviously Lo-Fi has impacted all of our lives.
Do you know what? I'm imagining me listening to this podcast and not knowing what Lo-Fi Girl is, so I'm just going to explain it. Are we given a clear explanation?
No, we haven't. Go on. You do that.
So for those that don't know, especially for me, it's great for me because my brain moves 100 miles per hour. And Lo-Fi Girl is a channel that basically makes playlists or live streams of predominantly instrumental music that can put you in a place where you can concentrate better.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they've made a brand of studying to meditation to relaxing. And it's a really good channel.
And it's been running for years.
And apparently it's Asian owned.
I didn't say it was owned. I said the girl is Asian. I didn't say Asian owned, but we will soon find out.
Because Asian people are known to be very intelligent and study and do well in school.
Okay. No. You said all that. You said all that. I didn't say all that. You said all that. Yeah. Sorry.
I can't wait to get cancelled.
So, obviously, you're here to talk about your new show.
Am I?
Yeah.
I'm joking.
We can talk about many other things.
I like talking to
Let's give me your spot right now before we will dive.
We'll go off on another
tangent. We will go on a tangent. It always happens.
I'll be there with you in tangent land.
But you're here to talk about your new show, but I wanted to talk about your come up a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I think people tend to think people just pop up. And they don't know the graph behind it.
Do you think people think that about me?
A little bit.
Really?
Like when you hear mums talking about you, like once you've hit the mainstream, they don't know the history of it.
Shouts to all the mums.
But I think like the bigger you get and the more people know you, but they don't know the story, then they think like it's kind of just like a pop-up. When people are like, why somebody got this presenting gig? What have they done?
Right, okay.
And it's because they don't understand the graph that you've put in. So then I would give like a brief summary of the timeline. Where is the graph? Where are the highs and the pitfalls that you've been through to get to where you are right now that you've got, again, another show on Apple? Because they're obviously, they want to keep you on retainer, innit?
Oh, it's not on Apple, by the way.
Oh,
sorry.
What is that?
I'm so sorry.
I got that wrong.
I wish it was. It's okay. Damn. Everything else about what you said was great.
Yeah, I know.
Can I just say, I'm super naive because I just assumed people knew that if I present something, they'd think, oh yeah, that's Julie and she's done all these things. It never occurred to me. Maybe I've got main character syndrome, but it never occurred to me that some people would see me and think, who the fuck's this girl? Who the fuck's this? Why hasn't someone else got this job?
40% of our audience is US.
Oh, okay. Hi. Hey.
So then, yeah, if you're speaking to, and how many countries were you in? 160.
Okay,
yeah,
flex.
We're worldwide.
Anything else?
You know, a couple awards under the bag.
You get
a
free
Starbucks,
you get a little...
We're not getting it.
Not yet.
Sorry. Yeah, we'll I shouldn't have highlighted the negative. Let's keep moving. So yeah, okay, so I'll give you a brief one. So I started out in as a human, first and foremost. I was born. That was really fun. And then my family's very, very musical. My dad was a DJ. My mum is just me, but louder and funnier at times. And so it was a very gregarious... scenario of growing up in just chaotic noise and excitement and minimal rules, thanks to my oldest brother who broke every single one before I even hit five. And so, yeah, we just had a very big freedom to be creative in my house. So I started out in radio. I was on radio. I did Rinse FM Drive Time, which was a pirate station, then became a legal station. I did that for, I was on there for 5 years. And then Apple Music launched a streaming service. They wanted a radio station. They said, would you like to be the host? I said, yes.
100%.
Absolutely. Didn't even have to ask. So I did that for 5 years. And then in between that, I was just doing loads of different TV things. So I hosted MTV Catfish, the UK version, which was interesting and very eye-opening to the world. I guess I said I was naive before. Yeah. I was extremely naive. It's very real.
Did you see any like proper heartbreak moments?
It's all very real. Every single person on there is very real.
How are people still getting catfished today? That's the question.
How many webcams were broken?
That's the question.
I would always like, my webcam is broken.
Then I'd be like, okay, cool. I Amazon Prime'd you one.
There was there was someone that we shot an episode with who he was supposed to go on a date with his catfish. Obviously, at the time, he didn't know it was a catfish. And the excuse that the person gave was that a dog got knocked over on the way on his way to the date. a dog got run over and he's taking the dog to the vet. Now, the date was in the evening. I don't have any pets. I don't know if there's 24-hour veterinarians.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's 24-hour, but if I'm on the way to a date and a dog gets knocked over...
Sorry, a dog or the person's dog?
A dog.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not the person's dog. But the catfish is on the way to the date.
They knocked the dog over.
No, they didn't knock the dog
they
over.
They were just pedestrian.
A dog got knocked over. I'm taking it to the vet. Sorry, can't come to the date.
It was just
today.
A stray dog.
This is off the back of the last excuse, which was that they were locked inside the gym. So they were doing... live streamed workouts. Right. So they're a trainer doing live stream workouts, and then they got locked inside the gym and their phone battery died, so they couldn't, they were just AWOL for 24 hours or whatever.
So these
were the excuses that this person had been given
in the museum, but
and they still believed that the person was real.
I think in love, the Lulu hits.
I'm sorry, what was this? What's this magic?
Delusion.
Oh, you call it Lulu?
Delulu.
Oh, that's cool, Delulu.
That's what the kids call it.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. Yeah. Shout out to the kids.
That's what the Gen Z is calling it.
Yeah, shorten all the words. We don't need them.
I honestly love the shorter words. But I think, to be honest, from Manchester, everybody shortens the words. My favourite is non-binners for non-binary.
I've never heard that in my
non-binners. I was watching Sex Education and she called asexual ace. And I thought that was quite cool as well.
That's cool.
Ace sounds cool.
Yeah, but I've been ace for a while.
I was talking to my sister and she was like, oh yeah, my friend's non-binners. And I was like, what the hell is non-binners?
I love non-binners.
And she said non-binary. I said, that's tea. Yeah, I love that.
I'm not going to lie. Non-binners is kind of hard. Wow. But yeah, so I did lots of TV presenting. I've always been creative. I remember when I started working at Rinse and when I got the job at Apple Music as well. I just remember, I don't know where I got it from, but I knew I didn't want to just be on those platforms.
Yeah.
I wanted to have my own stuff that I was making and building. So I would always scramble as soon as I heard that I got the job, because obviously it didn't get announced straight away, to make something. I did an interview show in Red Bull with Terry Walker, Mira May, Stormzy. I'm forgetting, Cherry V was on it as well. I did that around the time of launching one of my radio shows. Obviously made top five whilst I was on radio. And just constantly was trying to think, okay, cool, how do I build an audience? Because I'm very, you know me, I don't trust the internet. So I'm very conscious of, it's just a very...
It moves very
untrustworthy
quickly,
place.
Yeah.
So for me, I think, okay, cool. How do I just make sure that no matter what happens and what goes to shit, because I'm definitely the person that quits their job randomly. That's my MO. How do I maintain people who know me and are still directly in contact with me? So I've always tried to ensure that I was doing stuff like that.
Maintain that core audience.
Exactly, yeah. And that's why I get all the good jobs, guys. Because I've been doing this since 2010.
Because she's been here.
Got the loyal fans.
Honestly, I love Top 5. Can't personally watch it because it frustrates me too much. You know, like, I'm one of those people that gets so invested and I'm, like, shouting at. And I'm like, do you know what? Let me protect my peace. I can't. And I know that... Well, this is going to come out after that, but I know you have the Renaissance one come in. And unfortunately, I won't engage
you're
at all.
You're not going
to come? That's going to piss me off to high heaven.
So just to be clear, this is coming out after?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So, it doesn't matter then. I can just say it. we're not filming this episode. It's not going to be online.
Oh, so I have to go.
So you have to come. It would be weird if you didn't come, because then you're stressed. You're not even, you can't be stressed out because you can't see it.
But I know, like, even when we did the Renaissance, yeah. Actually, you pissed me off. I'm not even going to look
at you. Oh, wow. Or maybe you shouldn't have come.
Yeah.
I've seen a small sliver of venom this that I can understand how that could grow.
We did an episode and it was very heated.
It was.
No pun intended.
You see, but heated wouldn't be on my top five.
No.
Huh?
You like heated?
Wait.
Heated wouldn't be on my top five from Renaissance.
Is that in your top five?
Wait. Heated is not in your top five from Renaissance?
No.
So number seven.
Whoa.
It's all right. It's not a skip, but it's not. I'm not going to the album and like selecting
stretch
it.
Stretch marks on my tits.
We all have them.
She said she's got stretch marks on her tits.
Yeah.
Beyonce.
Yeah.
Said she has stretch marks on her tits.
But she's given birth, so I expect that from her.
Yeah, she's given something new.
Wow.
And this is it.
Heated to me is a banger.
Heated.
I love Heated.
Now that I've listened to Renaissance for a year consistently, at the beginning, it was at the top five.
Yeah.
Now it's not.
Okay.
So it's changed, like, as I mature with life.
Wow, okay. As I get less stretch marks on my toes.
Yeah, as I go through life. Before Pure Honey was at my bottom, and now I'm deep into
it. Oh, no, I like Pure Honey.
Pure Honey's not in my top five.
You have to go through the
can
cycle.
Can you see how we're just casually having this conversation? It's nice and calm. That's what it will be like at the show. Just be relaxed.
I don't know. When Beyonce comes,
I get mob mentality. I get mob mentality. Like, before you say, I start screaming.
Yeah.
At least you know that you do, though. That's important.
That's why I protect myself. Like, I know my type. I know who I am as a person.
That's good.
I get caught up in the passer and then I'm screaming. So if you want me to be loud, I'll be there.
I can't imagine you aggressive.
Well,
let's just leave it that way. Should we leave it that way?
Yeah. Let me say some more Beyonce opinions.
I wanted to ask you, how did you get so lucky and have Nigerian parents that let you guys be creative? Like, what advice could any Nigerian parents are listening?
That's a good question.
And you want your kids to succeed in life? What steps should they take? Because
okay, I should actually say this from the beginning. I do apologize. I've got a bit of a blocked nose. So to everyone listening, I am a person. I'm just, this is me. I am Julie. If you know my voice, it's just a little bit cloggy, but you'd have to ask my mom and dad, man. I honestly do. More and more, I realize how different they are to the average Nigerian parents. And it's funny, when my mom wrote her book and I read it, it was a very eye-opening experience. Because not that I wasn't going to read it, but I had to read it early because I didn't know what she was going to put in there.
Yeah, all right.
And I looked at all my brothers and I thought, someone's going to have to read this book before it goes out, just in case there's some stuff in there we don't want. So I read it early and I just remember it was probably the best thing I did, because on the journey of helping her release it, there were so many things I knew that people would be able to learn and read from it, that it was a really big driver. Not that I wouldn't have been excited to release my mom's book anyway, but it just added to me understanding so much more about these two human beings who had met in London in a bingo hall. And when I see old videos of them and pictures and see us in the christening sliding around on our knees in the hall and stuff, I imagine how different life could have been for all of my siblings.
Yeah.
If my parents didn't just have a thing. And to be honest with you, to answer your question, I don't know where, I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it was they went to uni. I don't know what it was that made them just ever so slightly, just slowly but surely, just turn away from what was their natural thing. Yeah.
Doing the.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, did they get pushback from like the rest of the family?
So I remember my mum always tells the story. So her and her girlfriends, they would. She was adamant that they should go to uni. And some of them were like, no, I'm having my kids. I'm going to raise my kids. I'm just going to be in the house with raising my kids. I'm doing what we've been taught to do.
Yeah.
And she was always very much the rebel, always the, we're going to do it differently, the sort of, I don't know. She was always trying to break rules, my mum. I think it would, if I asked her, she would potentially say it comes from, she's the oldest of all her siblings. She was very, she had to raise them with her mum. You know what it's like, you're the oldest, help out, there's 11 of you, make it work with mum and dad. And I think for the longest time growing up, she wanted to break away from I think she was tired of, you have to do this, if oh my, you need to go here, you have to raise the kids. I think she always wanted to just make her own decisions and not have responsibilities of other people and her siblings and family. So I think when she came to London, you know. She said, I'm a city girl. She was doing early city girl things and running around and just not being a traditional and doing traditional things and, you know, just breaking the rules all the time. And that probably attracted my dad because he's got the same sort of energy. And then, you know, you two have kids and...
And then what's that? History. You see what happens when you let your kids flourish? Well, you don't try and put them in a box. Good things can happen. But that's good. Your show is called Work in Progress.
Yes.
Not on Apple.
No. Okay, so it's on the Don't Trust the Internet YouTube channel. So It's funny, I was having this conversation with someone the other day about why make a channel called Don't Trust the Internet, why have a brand called Don't Trust the Internet, and...
On the internet,
exactly. Where else can it be? But I think it came from my career so far has very much been me affiliated with brands, whether it's Rinse FM, MTV, Apple Music. And I feel that people tend to respect stuff more when it feels like it comes from this sort of house, this
organic,
this company,
yeah.
this corporation. Yeah. It's got more of a weight to it and there's a bit more gravitas to it. Whereas if I just said, you know, I've got this show called Julie Stop 5, as much as it's a great show, maybe it doesn't hold as much weight if it doesn't feel like it comes from this thing, you know? So the goal was to always create underneath Don't Trust the Internet, whatever that is, whether it's the parties that we do. Did you come to the Club Renaissance party that we did?
No.
It was a great time.
I heard it was good.
Yeah, it was fantastic. There was a horse. I mean, it wasn't a real horse, but yeah, it was a silver horse.
I think you could get a pony.
No, not in a club.
Why not?
Why would you? That's animal cruelty.
I like
so
Sebastian.
You're racist and you don't like animals. Okay, good to know. But yeah, so all the things that I do, any creative idea that I have, it lives underneath Don't Trust the Internet, which is why Work in Progress, the show, also lives there as well.
Okay.
Don't Trust the Internet on the internet.
And what are you working in progress?
Oh my gosh.
What is a work in progress to
me?
You?
You know what? It's the name of the show. So Virgil, God rest his soul, has a website called Free Game, I think it's called. Yeah. And he talks about naming your brand. And I'm bad at naming anything. I can come up with ideas all day long. But when you ask me to think of a name, I'll give you some bottom of the barrel rubbish.
You're good at names, though.
Some people have a gift.
Yeah.
It's a corniness.
Yeah,
some people have a gift.
It's like the dad humour.
Yeah. I had a friend who would just literally, anytime he'd think of a name, didn't have any idea what it was. He'd just think of a name and write it down. And he's got notes of just names of things. He doesn't know whether they're for a book, a film. And for me, I'm just like, should we call it chips? <He's> like, probably not. But yeah, so Virgil's website was talking about the fact that the name of your brand should always inform it constantly throughout its journey. And when I was thinking about making Work in Progress, I knew I wanted an interview series. I knew I wanted it to be different to what people are used to. And I knew that after 99% of all interviews that I do, I think, that could have been better.
Ooh.
All the time. Doesn't matter where I think, oh, man, I wish I didn't ask that question. Or I've just remembered that they said that. Why didn't I follow up on that? I just have a constant sort of that. How do I make that better? And because this was an interview series that was going to be mine, that I own on my platform, I didn't want to go into it making people feel that I'm the perfect interviewer.
Right. You
know, I'm the best. I've been doing this for 13 years. I'm amazing. I wanted it to be clear to people that I'm still trying to learn how to be a really good interviewer. And so Work in Progress just made sense. Also, the fact that we show the work in progress, me actually preparing for the interview within the show.
Yeah.
That, again, was another thing that when I was reading Virgil's website, I was like, okay, cool, yeah. That's people will really understand that, you know, an interview isn't read Wikipedia and then write some questions down and, you know. Hope that, you know,
it works out.
Hope it works out. Exactly. I listen to podcasts. I'm so annoyed the woman's name has escaped me now, but she has a course that she does that I didn't pay for. But I did listen to her on a podcast talking about how to ask good questions.
Okay.
And so there's loads of work that goes into.
Maybe we should listen to
Yeah, that's, I was thinking that.
But it's just really, it's very smart the way she breaks it down. But it's also things that may feel like common sense, but in the moment sometimes when you get an extra 10 minutes with Will Smith.
Yeah,
you know, you need to be able to really switch on and ask something that's worth asking in this moment because you might never get this opportunity again. And so, yeah, that's where the name of the show came from. And we say in the first episode, you know, I want people to really see a difference between Ep 1 and Episode 100 of, wow, Julie actually has gotten better at doing this. And not to say that I'm bad, because I am good at it.
But you want to always improve.
Yeah,
that's... So are you going to show... Obviously, you're interviewing loads of different people, but are you going to have any... standalones where it's more about you and showing like what, like the whole thing is about you and it's like something that you have been working on building up to? Or is it, are you always going to have another?
Oh, it will always be an interview. There will always be an interview in the show. I feel, you know, sometimes I feel like people don't really know me very well. I don't know if that's my fault. I think in Beyonce a lot of the times. I do think, what would Beyonce do, a lot of my life. And I think that in some ways that's maybe kept me a bit further away from people than I would maybe like. But because of the way the show actually happens, you see me anyway.
Right.
Not just see me, but you as in you get to know me. People, a lot of people don't, this is such a weird thing to say, but I just remember someone saying to me, wow, you're really funny. And I was like, I know, but you didn't know. I thought everybody knew I was funny. and so there's so many parts of my personality that will just come through naturally as you're watching it.
That's good.
It's the research for the interview, but there's also, you know, there's clips of us going to the Rooker shoot.
Okay.
When we were shooting the TV advert. So there's bits of my life just in there anyway. And so hopefully, yeah, people will get a better idea of who I am.
Okay.
Nice.
I wanted to ask. Go on, do this as well. I was talking about it this morning because of the work in progress, and I've been seeing a lot of people talk about their villain arc story.
I saw this on the notes. I was like, what is this?
I put it in so I didn't forget. But obviously work in progress comes from like working through whatever you've got in your childhood, but then what was the point?
Why do you keep looking at Hanifa? I feel like you want her to say something.
You're going to make me mad.
I'm going to make you mad.
Go on.
No, so it's like, what is the point in your childhood that creates your villain arc story? Not something deep, obviously, but your, when you were like, once this happened, I was simply on a badness. And because I was, I saw people talk about it and I can remember mine quite clearly.
Oh, go on, say yours.
So...
I'll decide which story I'll go
Yo,
for.
Your deep breath has already made me laugh. You're like...
In year... I'm going to say probably year four.
Damn, okay.
In year four, so I have keloids behind this ear.
Okay.
But when I was younger... Actually, it was younger than year four. It was year two. When I was younger, they were like really big.
Mm.
Because I got... I had chicken pox and the chicken pox went crazy.
Yeah.
So they were like so big, my ear was folded like this. And then I've had like, I don't know how many surgeries to get it like to my skin level.
Mm.
But there was a girl... And I feel like her name was Umba, but I can't remember. She looked like Jafar she looked like Jafar from Aladdin.
We don't like Umba.
No. But I was, at that time, I was like a really happy-go-lucky, really nice child. Like, everybody was my friend. And I was really trying to beg friends with Umba because I was like, this girl doesn't like me. Anyway, she makes a really big rumor that my keloids are slugs trapped in my skin.
Oh.
So nobody would, everyone was like, I'm the slug girl, and they wouldn't fuck with me. And I was like, why would she do that to me?
I feel bad for you.
And I was like, I don't even like you.
That's
me.
Anyway, no, that's actually deep.
She was walking past me one time in lunch and I stuck my leg out and she cracked the side of her face.
Yeah!
And I was like,
am I allowed to cheer for that?
I was like,
yeah!
It was one of those, I remember very clearly, like, looking over on her and I'm like, oh. and then moved
up. I'm sorry. She deserved it.
She did. She tried to make it seem like I had slugs in my skin. And that's when, and I think, honestly, from that point is when I actually stopped being nice.
No one's going to fuck with me ever
again. I'm not being nice to people. You guys don't deserve it.
I have a question. So I watch this, I love this channel on YouTube. I just love YouTube in general, but your Daily Dose of Internet. I don't know if you guys watch it.
Oh, yeah.
This is your Daily Dose of Internet. It's really good. And there's certain videos that when they're in there, they will write at the bottom, nobody was hurt in this. Because if you don't know, you could think someone can like die. So I think it's important for us to know, is this girl okay now? Is she...
She's fine. Like,
you've seen her before?
She's still looking like Jafar.
You've seen her recently? Does she look like Jafar? I haven't seen her
since I left that primary school.
But you know she's fine?
But she... That was year two.
She might not be fine, but for unrelated reasons.
Like, she came back to school. She had like a...
Oh, she had to leave school?
No, she was... There was
she missed out on learning?
As in, she came back like days after. Mm-hmm. But like, she had a small scar... On her face. Like, what? Like, she had other issues to focus on. The scar wasn't going to do any too much.
Wow.
But, like, I'm sure she's fine. I'm sure she's fine now.
I think it's important that we know she's okay. What's her name? Umba, potentially.
I feel like her name was Umba.
Umba, if you're listening, Umba.
I can ask my friend because they were actually related. So I can ask, like, I'd be like, how's your cousin?
Does she know? She knows you tripped her, right? Or is this a revelation now? Is this a confession?
Oh, this is like a historical crime.
I can't remember if she knew that I tripped her. Okay. However, I think I looked over her so that she knew it was me. Don't get it twisted.
Adam was the originator of the Kanye shrug. She just went like this.
So you know that it was me that did that to you, so stop running your mouth.
Wow.
So I think she probably does know.
Violence is violence, isn't it? Yeah. She was violent.
Umber, if you're listening to this, we hope you're okay. And we hope that your scar is actually, you know, maybe turned into like a
learning moment.
No, I was going to say more like, you know, like a beauty, like, you know, when something.
Or like an eyebrow slit.
Yeah, or just something that gives it a little bit, gives you more character in your face.
But
yeah.
I hope you learned your lesson.
Okay, yeah. That's
good, the main thing. Stop the spreading.
Year two. I don't know you in year two as well.
I don't think I have any. I was like happy-go-lucky.
You see, oh, I here was we go. Happy-go-lucky.
I had an amazing life. Everything was going.
I remember once me and my friend escaped primary school.
Okay.
And what do you mean?
There was like a fence and it went up. But if we just walked along the fence, you could just jump down. So right. We left the school. We were in like year five.
Yeah.
And then we ran into our friend's mum and then she snitched on us.
Oh. Did you trip her over?
No. Just gave her evils. No scars. But that was...
I love that you called it escaped primary school as if it was a dangerous place.
We broke escaped. Out.
Also,
yeah.
In primary school.
You bunked.
No,
but we were kids. it wasn't bunking though. It was so much more. It was exhilarating.
Wow.
It's because you're in primary school.
We were like eight.
It feels like she was doing prison break.
Yeah, we were running around. There was like an estate next to it. We were running around and then Paige's mum.
No, why are you naming them? Why are we naming Paige's mum?
I'll never forget.
Shout out to Paige, man. Debbie. Your mum's a snitch and now everybody knows.
Her name out there,
I remember her name because she was a supervisor and she was all friendly to us.
Oh, that was her job?
No, she wasn't working. She was just like doing her shopping.
So she was off duty?
Yeah, and then she said hello to us. And then she told my mum.
Oh, so she didn't tell you off when she saw you? Oh, she acted nice.
Yeah. At least tell me you're going to tell my
exactly.
mum.
Yeah. That was her betrayal. But I didn't do any revenge.
Well, I just cried. Maybe you haven't had your villain arc because it's yet to come.
I've been sitting on it.
But when you're an adult and you move a bit mad, jail time is very clear. So like, it's better to get the... If I trip somebody out now and they crack their face...
Yeah, it's mad for you.
They can sue me. Yeah. But as a kid,
yeah,
you
and
can
I'm
get
not,
away
I'm
with
not
that.
Doing that now.
Well, you'd be surprised.
As a kid,
I
just would have sued your parents. But anyway, it didn't happen.
They couldn't. Yeah. Any villain stories for you?
Your villain arc?
I would say... I don't know if mine necessarily came from one person, but I remember being... People always laugh when I say this, but I was ugly in school.
Define ugly.
No, it's better to be ugly as a child.
Oh yeah, yeah. I personally believe that's in why being you're ugly funny. As a child.
Exactly. Yeah, it's important. Yeah, character
but I was ugly in school, and I grew up with three brothers, and had no idea how to do any form of self grooming. I taught myself how to gel my hair to my forehead, and it didn't go well. I went to Claire's Accessories and bought terrible. I didn't understand how hair bands worked. So I just bought big fluorescent pink and green.
What do you mean you didn't understand how they worked?
So like with Afro textured hair.
Right.
You can't be buying big scrunchies. They can't do anything.
You need the bubbles.
You need the black thin elastic ones without the plastic and that rip shirt. There's a bit of education there. I was buying anything that I thought looked good. I was doing crazy stuff with my I just looked really interesting. And so my villain story came from the moment that I sort of shaved my hair off and like, you know, like, what is it? The caterpillar? What's the caterpillar story? The butterfly?
Oh, the fat one?
No, what's the kid's story with the caterpillar?
It's all caterpillars and butterflies.
The hungry caterpillar.
Yeah, that's
what I was saying, the fat
and
one.
He wasn't fat. Like,
the one that was eating everything.
I don't know if he was eating everything. He was
called
fat.
The hungry caterpillar because he couldn't stop eating. Fez. And he got too fat.
Fair, yes, sorry.
Did he
sorry
get fat?
That. Sorry. Yeah. And the book
not
had
body
whole,
shaming.
The book
yeah, I remember the holes.
And it had sort of sections.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, I remember.
So
that was me.
The kids call it a glow up now, maybe. I don't know, maybe they've changed the name again.
Yeah.
But I blossomed into a butterfly. And that's my villain origin story.
That is a good that's a very Beyonce villain story. It's like we're just like miserable.
I don't know how it is, but I'm happy for you to say that. I'm happy with that.
But Beyonce was never ugly.
No, but as in like, yeah, I rise above it.
It's true.
I'm a goddess.
It's true.
And that's why I think in Beyonce now.
You are Beyonce.
I am. Thank you.
There you go. I actually think we're out of time.
Are we? Oh, we didn't get to do my reading.
I know. Do you know what? Good for you, because you didn't want to do it anyway.
No more season solutions this
but
week.
But I love giving advice. That's sad.
Can you do it in two lines?
Okay. A woman, she had a miscarriage.
No. Let's do this. We're going to do it properly. Oh, don't just be chucking.
Okay, let's do it.
Oh, a woman. Just, go on.
Okay. She says she's like, oh, I don't want to read anyway.
Go on.
I, 32 female, and my fiance are getting married in 3 months. We've done some major and minor planning, including rules. We
see. Go on.
It's okay. Believe in yourself. You got this.
We specifically want no kids at the wedding. No is in capitals. Just she really doesn't want kids.
Amen.
My brother and I have always been close and we've gotten through a lot together, and he has 2 amazing kids who are 3 and 2, and I couldn't be happier to be their aunt. But me and my fiancé decided we didn't want to have kids at a wedding because there's going to be drinking and partying and other stuff that they don't want kids around for.
Valid.
Okay. So they've also had their struggles in having children. She recently had a miscarriage, and when she had the miscarriage, I'm just going to paraphrase this bit, she asked her brother to not bring the kids around for a while because it was too hard.
Mm-hmm.
The fiancé said it was okay to ask for no kids to be around at the wedding, but her parents were frustrated and they stopped visiting her. I eventually sent out invitations to all my loved ones, and the card included, in bolded, no kids, okay. All capital.
Delivery could have been better, but keep going. Just,
really, no kids.
No fucking kids.
My brother wasn't okay with this, and he sent a message saying, wouldn't your nieces make great flower girls? We're going to get dresses now. I replied saying, no need, they cannot come to my wedding, no hard feelings. He said it shouldn't apply to them, their family. And then she said, and then this is the bit. None. If you feel that you cannot be separated from your children for a couple of hours, then you cannot come to my wedding. My rules are clear and final on the invitation. I blocked my brother after that.
Bit much. Overdoing it.
I have been nonstop getting text after sex. Call after call, begging me to talk to my brother and allow my nieces to come. My parents have stated that until my nieces and brother are allowed to come to the wedding, they will not be there.
Oh, parents so, not coming as well?
But because she's done the whole blocking.
Oh, do you know what?
So who's the asshole?
It sounds like everyone in that situation needs to grow up, I think.
Yeah,
I was on her side until
there was no need.
I was like, yeah, the brother's being a bit too pushy. Yeah. And then she was like, I blocked him. I was like, that's a bit.
Yeah, yeah. There's no need. There's many areas in that where it's all gone to shit. One, why are you texting your brother back and forth about this? Just a phone call or go to the house. There's no need to text. That's weird. I think that leaves too much room for...
It depends. They might not live in the same city.
Figure it out.
Yeah, but it's too much room for ambiguity.
Just figure it out. Yeah, just...
They live local.
Even just a phone call. Just a phone call's fine. People are weird about weddings, I've noticed.
Very weird.
People think they're entitled to things at other people's weddings. It's like Christmas. Everybody's confused about what it's really about. And now everyone's going broke for Christmas when it's nothing to do with spending money. And I think people need to figure out that... Or just at least accept that if two people are getting married... Whatever they need for their day is paramount.
Yeah.
That's it. If we don't want any kids there, we don't want any kids there. It's done. There's nothing to talk about. There's no, if they make nice flower girls, I don't want them there.
But then
I want to walk in my wedding and say, fucking, I don't want my nieces to see me doing that. Is that okay?
But would you sacrifice your brother being at your wedding?
No, but he sacrifice himself.
Exactly. He sacrificed himself.
What if he can't find childcare?
Why? What's
you
wrong?
Have time.
It's 2023.
You have time.
Storm Reid is a study guide on Apple.
Yeah, true.
You can go and find some childcare.
Yeah. I don't know why I'm defending the woman just because I read it out.
And also, like she said, it can be just for a couple hours. Like, don't come to the reception.
Yeah.
See this wedding, don't come to the reception. Go and run after your kids.
Yeah, it's really not.
And he has kids. I assume he has kids with potentially a partner.
Oh, well, there was a bit that I left out. The mother has substance abuse issues.
There's so millions of ways for those children to be looked after whilst I literally say some vows.
Yeah, they could
I'm talking to you
up.
Like you're... Hanifa, sorry. Your kids are not coming to my wedding. Everybody just relax. Who's getting married? What they say goes. End of. If you don't want to be there, then don't come. But
child-free weddings are the best ones.
They're the best ones.
Yeah.
Everyone gets drunk in peace. Kids, I love kids, but they really ruin
the world. Should be a crash part at the wedding.
No.
Like in church. I have to pay for that.
No.
Older cousins.
They want to have fun.
No. Okay.
Because you got to think about it like this. If you say to the kid, did you enjoy yourself today? They don't even know.
Yeah, that's expensive, actually.
They have no idea what's
going on.
You
have to buy them a meal. Yeah.
When the kid's now 15, how was Auntie Julie's wedding? I don't remember it.
Exactly.
The pictures, though.
However, I do remember there was one wedding I went to as a child, and they asked every child to give their Happy Meal order. and they gave all the kids happy. And of course, that is a good. I remember that because all the kids sat on one table, and all the adults were eating wedding food. They just gave all the, because they said, we're not wasting our expensive wedding food on you. Take your Happy Meals.
So they poisoned them with McDonald's.
That is smart.
So they poisoned them with McDonald's. So I'm going to bring my child to the wedding and they're going to be fed.
It can be whatever you want it to
poisonous
be.
Poisonous McDonald's.
Beans on toast.
Leave the kids at home. Your beans on toast. Okay, we're finished.
There's no point wasting expensive wedding food on a kid.
No, I don't think the kids should be fed. They shouldn't be there.
No, they shouldn't be there. But
there's
certain places
kids shouldn't be.
I think they should be there, but they should be in a separate room or at least separate table.
Have you paid for a wedding before?
No.
Okay, that's all I'm going to say.
No, because you don't.
Pay
you're
for a wedding and then
expensive.
And then see what you'll say when someone says, we want a separate room okay, for children.
Separate table.
Table. It's like you're looking at like a grand table here.
So you're saying to your other half, I love you, and without you, you're crying, and then the kids screaming in the background.
Yeah. You've seen those first dance videos, and then the kids running across, doing the first dance, and like, go! And then they're doing like, look at me, and like, I will literally hit you.
Flossing behind you.
You're flossing behind.
If there's a kid doing any form of TikTok dance at my wedding,
that is true, you don't need those
I low-key understand it a tiny bit, because people that do say no kids, they tend to let like direct family bring their kids.
Yeah, because they like their own family.
But she's obviously made it clear, like, I don't want these kids. I'm sorry.
Well, they are 2 and 3.
Yeah, that's actually too young.
They're not going to remember it.
You can't, if they were maybe 10 and you can tell them to shut the fuck up, sit down, then maybe it would have been allowed. But not 2 or 3 year olds.
No. Yeah, okay. I think she could have gone about it differently.
She definitely, her delivery was terrible. She didn't go about that the right way
and
at
like
all.
Cutting out her parents and brother.
It's not that deep.
People do like the drama around the wedding though.
It's part of the wedding.
She should have actually just set up a camera and just zoomed.
Yeah, you can join like that.
Just get the kids to watch via
Zoom. Yeah, exactly. Separate with the babysitter at home.
Mm. That's fun for the babysitter.
There you go. To the person listening whose problem it was. Set up a camera and live stream your wedding to the kids.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you.
Thank you. Julie, when's the show out? Where should people find it? What do you want the people to do after this?
After what?
After this comes out for the show.
it's coming out. When is it coming out?
Your show. No, this is coming out
mid-November.
On like the week of the 13th. I don't know what the Saturday of
Of November?
Yeah.
Oh, the Beyonce show wouldn't have happened since.
Not Beyonce show. Your show.
Okay, so it would have been out by then. Okay. So Work in Progress is my brand new interview series. It's on my YouTube channel, don'ttrustheinternet.com. I think by the time this comes out, there will be one episode that is out with me and a very special guest. And watch it. Tell people about if you like it, tell people. If you don't like it, then obviously tell people as well, I guess. Tell people, either way. And leave all the kids at home at the wedding.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming.
This was
lovely.
This was fun.
Many debates.
Many a debate.
But we will catch the rest of you guys next week.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.